14 through 25. So if you would, take your copy of God's Word and let's read it together. It says this: "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, and I agree with the law that it is good, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and just reading that text and the weight of it, God, just the truths that exude from it, God, and I think who am I to be able to wrestle with and believe this about myself, much less be able to preach and explain it to others. But God, we know that we're not dependent on me. We're dependent upon you, God. We pray this morning that by the power of your Spirit that you would speak this truth into our lives, that you would explain it to us, that you would cause our hearts to sink their teeth into these truths that you have given to us, God, that we believe it, that it impacts the way we war against our own sin, that it would be used in this service, God, to bring lost people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you do something in here today that only you can do, that can only be done by the work of your Spirit, God, and we give you the praise for it even in advance. We beg you to use the lips of a sinful man and preach this infallible gospel to the saving of our souls and the sanctification of those who are yours. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. I love movies that depict war scenes, especially those ancient battles where the guys line up on the battlefield. And I'm not talking about the ones of, you know, England or early America where they just line up and shoot, take turns shooting at each other. Like, I just don't even get that. I'm talking about the ones where they have swords and they have, you know, these javelins and horses, and like, you're talking about real battle scenes. I love movies that depict that, and one of the things I really like about those particular types of war scenes that are found in you know, lots of different movies is when the general or the leader of the army, whoever he may be, where he gets on the horse and he rides up and down the line and he's given this, like, this incredible speech that is just stirring up the people to fight. You know what I'm talking about? Like, one of my favorites, and I never endorse movies or usually even use them, but one is Braveheart, where this guy named William Wallace, the one who is leading Scotland to fight for their independence, he's riding up and down that line, and he's given this speech, and when he arrives on the scene with his blue war paint, a lot of the guys are leaving because there's just a huge army that's out before them, and they're afraid, and so they're leaving. They're questioning whether or not they should fight, and he shows up, and he gives this speech that just is incredible. To the point when he's finished, like, I want a sword and I want there to be an army in the backyard so I can go join William Wallace and bleed for the freedom of Scotland. You know what I'm talking about? Just get you fired up that you want to go and war. Well, last week when we looked at verses 14 through 25 and focused most intently on verses 14 through 18, I could say that was possibly one of my agendas was to be a William Wallace and just to help stir us up that we would go and fight the enemy that wages war against our souls. Of course, minus the war paint and the kilt. And today we continue the same thing as we look at this picture and we see that the different details that Paul is laying out for us, it should stir us up to fight. As Christians, it should stir us up to wage war against our own flesh. And so last week when we looked at verses 14 through 18, we saw that this battle first rages because we're sinners. Every single one of us, even as believers, we are still sinners. Secondly, we saw that the battle is against doing the very things that we hate. Salvation changes the way we look at our sinful practices. We no longer love them, we hate them. Thirdly, we saw that the battle is evidence of the perfection of God's standard. God didn't change his standard for believers. It's the same as before. We are called to live by the standard that God has laid out before us in his scriptures. And fourthly, we saw the battlefield, the place where this war is raging, is in the heart of every single believer. You're never exempt. So with that, I want to continue to examine this picture that we find Paul painting for us in the life and in the battle that goes on in the heart of the believer. So, and then next week we're going to finish up with this picture and showing us how to fight, how we actually go about waging war against our sin. So with that, look at verses 18 and 19 as we continue to look and see the fifth characteristic. Verses 18 and 19, they say this: "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing." So the fifth characteristic of the Christian battle is this: the battle makes us realize that we are powerless prisoners. The battle makes us realize that we are powerless prisoners. Paul says this: "I have the desire to do what's right." Like, I want to do what is right, what God tells me he wants me to do, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. I don't have what it takes to actually do what God is telling me to do. He says, "I don't do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, that's what I keep doing." And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, those words have probably come out of your mouth in some form or some fashion. But we look at that, we listen to that, and the first thing we want to do is we want to justify our sinfulness. We hear that: "Look, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just can't do it. I want to do it, but I just can't do it. I don't have what it takes to do it." And we want to say, "Hey, that gets me off the hook. That means that it's not my fault. That means that God, how's he going to hold me accountable?" But the key to understanding what Paul is saying is found in the very beginning of verse 18. Where Paul says this, look at it with me: "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." What Paul is showing us is that a Christian, as Christians, we do have two different natures. We have the old nature, which is the man or the woman that we used to be, and those passions and those desires that we call the flesh, Paul calls the flesh. And we have the new nature, which is the we've been born again, we've been recreated, we have become the children of God, and now we actually have a desire to do what is right and to not do the things that God says we shouldn't do. So there's a new man, a new woman living inside of us that Paul is going to talk about in Romans 8 that he calls the Spirit. That's what this entire section that we've been talking about for 3 weeks now is about. It's about this divided man. It's about this war between the old nature and the new nature. And you'll see this as we continue to move on and look at it. And I want you to know that I so long to be in Romans chapter 8. Like, there, you probably could not tally all the times that I have quoted Romans 8:1 on an entire sheet of paper For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I can't wait to get to Romans chapter 8, which is just right there. We're on the crest of it. And I try to move out of 7 and move into 8, and I just can't, because I feel this is so important for us as believers, that if we're going to fight, we have to realize who the enemy is. We have to realize how it is that we are to wage war against the sin that is in us. And this is exactly what Paul is doing. And he says here, he says, listen, guys, I have nothing good inside of me. That is in my flesh. This battle makes us realize that we are powerless. Powerless prisoners. If we're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. What Paul is saying is that in our sinful flesh, we are powerless prisoners. The battle of the Christian is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, to actually wage war against the sin that's in him. And in your flesh, you will never do the good that God is calling you to do. You do not have what it takes. You need the Spirit of God to work in you, to empower you to live the way that he wants you to live. You need him. You don't just get saved and say, okay, I got God now, I got Christ now, I got the Spirit inside of me now, and now I can just go on. I don't need him anymore. That is not how the Christian life works. You need him every single day. And if it were not for the grace of God and his Spirit working inside of you, you would blaspheme his name before your feet hit the floor every morning. It is the grace of God that empowers us to fight the sin that is inside of us. That is what it means to walk in relationship with God. That is what it means to have that relationship. And when we're wallowing in our sin, it is clearly a sign that we are not walking in fellowship with Christ. We're walking in the flesh. That means every time you get angry, every time you lust, every time you withhold your tithe, every time you're jealous, every time you are lazy, we could go on and on with the sins as last week. When you are sinning, that means that you're walking in the flesh and you're trying to do it in your own strength and in your own power. And you would think after years of doing that, we would realize and go, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to try to do it a different way. Maybe the truth is I don't have the ability to do what God has called me to do, and I need him. We need him every hour, every second of every day. And if we are going to live the Christian life as God has called us to live it, we have to see this. This is what Paul is saying. Look, I want to do what's right, but I don't have the ability. Even Paul, the super Christian, realizes that he needs the Lord. Yes, he hates what he's doing. He hates his sin, just like we are called to hate our sin. That's just a reality. If you're a believer, you hate your sin. There's no middle ground. You hate it. Why can't I do the good that I want to do? It's because we're living in the flesh. And when you're living in the flesh, you are powerless prisoners. And when you're living in the flesh, you'll never be able to do what God is asking you to do. Look at verse 20 and let me show you another characteristic. Sixth, Paul says in verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So the sixth characteristics of this battle is this. The battle is against a particular enemy, namely sin. And this is very important for you to hear. Paul says, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me? It sure sounds like he's trying to get us off the hook again. Like, it's not me, I didn't do it. It's that sin inside of me. And again, Paul's point is not to get us off the hook. His point is to show you who the enemy is. If we're going to do battle and if we're going to wage war, we at least need to know who we're waging war against. We need to know who the battle that we're fighting is against. Otherwise, we'll just become people who, Paul says, are just boxing against the air. We're just swinging aimlessly, and none of the blows are connecting with the enemy that we want to fight, that we need to be fighting. So many Christians spend so much time fighting the wrong enemy. And we talked about last week how we'll fight our co-workers and our bosses and our students at our school. We'll fight our brothers and sisters in Christ, our husbands and wives. We'll wage war against all the wrong people. People are not the enemy. Your circumstances are not the enemy. The enemy is in us. The enemy's inside of us. If we want to land blows, then we're going to be throwing punches, proverbially. I don't want to watch anybody going out here beating themselves in the face, because that would be a complete misunderstanding of what we're saying. The enemy is inside of us. And if we're going to wage war against the enemy, then that's where the battle has to go on. The enemy is not external. It's inside of us. But in this verse, Paul's also saying the enemy is also not you, which can be confusing. You heard me say, and you've probably said it, you've heard people say, and you've probably said it yourself, I'm my own greatest enemy, right? And I quoted G.K. Chesterton last week, and he had made that comment or wrote back a reply to that statement, what is wrong with the world? And he answered, I am, in which I agree, and I think Paul would agree. But what we find Paul doing in these verses is not contradicting that, but he's just digging down into us. I mean, I am what's wrong with the world, but the reality is Paul is digging in to us. He is going from general to specific. What is it about us that is wrong? Why is the reason the world so messed up us? And Paul is digging into that and showing. The point being that not only is blowing up your computer not the answer to the lust that's in your heart for images, also, gouging out your eyes is not going to fix the problem either. The sin is inside of us and it's in our hearts. The computer just gives you opportunity to feed your flesh, and your eyeballs are just the delivery system of those images that your heart longs for. Although it's certainly good and right to have accountability on your computers, although it's good and right to make a covenant with your eyes not to look at those images, the reality that Paul is pointing out here is that the computer, it's not the problem. It's not the enemy any more than your eyes are the problem or the enemy. The problem is the sin that lies within you. That's the enemy that we need to be fighting. Even if you gouged out your eyes, as I was talking to a brother last week, even if you gouged out your eyes, you would just use another delivery system. You would begin to be one who worked with smells to deliver those images, and with your memory you would deliver those images, with a touch you would deliver those images. You would get what your heart wants, because your heart is what's sinful. It's not the members in themselves. Paul is driving us to realize the problem is the sin that lies within our hearts. That's the problem. That's the enemy that we need to be fighting. And please don't feel like you're off the hook if that's not your sin. Lust is not what you struggle with. Ladies, you know, you can pick up one of those raunchy romance novels and be doing the very same thing that men do when they look at images. Or you can do the very same thing when you look at some other husband and how he treats his wife and emotionally go, you know, I wonder what it would be like to have my needs met like that. It's not just looking at images. The only difference between a woman and a man is how you feed the lust. How you feed the lust, the sin that's in your heart. That's the only difference. Now, we could have a conversation about anger. We could have a conversation about jealousy. We could have a conversation about gluttony, selfishness, laziness, and on we could go. It applies. Just because all of our sins are not the same, they're the same in the sense that they're equally sinful before a holy God. There's no scale you put them on. And if you say, well, you know what, preacher? I see what you're saying. I use lust because I feel like it's one of those issues that's prevalent among both men and women. I believe it's an issue that you know is something that most people struggle with. And if you're sitting there going, "Well, not me. I don't struggle with lust," then again, you're not listening to what I'm saying. It's not about lust. It's about sin in general. This sermon isn't about lust. It's about sin. You know, we could use anything. I started to think gluttony. I started to think about a sin that's really prevalent among all. And I thought another one might be gluttony. But, you know, I know what would happen if I made the whole focus on that. And what would our sinful hearts do? We would look at ourselves and go, "Well, you know what? I don't struggle with weight. So I'm not a glutton," and that's to miss the whole point. The truth is, I have friends who do struggle with weight. They talk about how many calories they can eat in a day, and I always get convicted because when they give that number, they say a number that they can have in one day, and I think to myself, I eat that much in one sitting. You tell me who the glutton is. Anytime we get full and we continue to stuff food in our mouth, we are sinning. We are feeding our hearts the sin that is within our hearts. And so the reality is, to be a glutton doesn't have anything to do with weight. You can be a glutton and be 100 pounds. You can be a glutton and be 300 pounds. And it's still sinful. You see, the point that Paul is making is that the war isn't against your eyes. The war isn't against your weight. The war isn't against your anger. Because if you wage war against your eyes and gouge them out, you'll just be a blind, lustful person. If you make the war to be against your weight, then you'll just turn into a skinny glutton. The weight, the eyes, the imagination is not the enemy. It's the heart. And if we will be men and women as believers who are going to wage war, we need to wage it rightly. We need to wage it against the true enemy, which is the sin within our hearts. That's what Paul means when he says, "Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." He's saying, listen, the enemy is sin. So look at verse 21 as we see the next one. "So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." So the seventh characteristic is this: the battle will rage on until the daisies are pushing up dirt in front of your tombstone. It's life. It is a lifetime. There will never be a time in your life ever where you can hang your sword up on your mantle and say, "I'm retired." Ever. There will never be a time where you can do that. If you will be the Christian that God is calling you to be in Romans 7 and Romans 8, then your hand will be fused to your sword with your own blood for life. You never put it down. You're always holding it because you always need to be waging war against your flesh. You will lay on your deathbed fighting sin. It will always be present. And the more I grow in Christ, the more I realize that this it really just intensifies. If you're a new believer, like I know how I felt. I felt like, man, all these sins that are on the outside, man, I got these things licked. I am whooping them up. Woohoo, I got it. And then God shows me the inside. And it is so much worse than the outside. The inside, you get at the core of my being and my thought life and who I am when nobody's looking. That, like, the sin that's in there that always wants to cripple and kill me. That's when the war really just gets enraged. And the further I go, the more intense become the battles. Christian life is warfare. And you may be sitting there lost. Maybe you're there sitting, you're listening, you're lost, and you're thinking, "Well, wow, what encouragement to be a believer." It is warfare. It is a fight. But it is the most joyous satisfying, incredible life that you could possibly live. There's no comparison to the Christian struggle in the lost man's hopelessness. But the battle is till death do us part. The last characteristic that we're going to look at this morning is the last characteristic we looked at last Sunday. Romans 7, I'm going to go to verses 24 and 25. And they say this, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." And so the point is the same as last week. The battle forces us to fall on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, on that battlefield, you will win and you will lose. I often feel like I always lose. But the battle, it forces us to flee back to Christ and to flee back and to fall onto the gospel of Jesus Christ that says that while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. And if He died for us while we were enemies, how much more will He save us who are children from the wrath of God that is to come? When we fall down on ground that's soaked in His blood, that screams out to us, "I love you, I died for you, you're victorious in me, get up and fight." We fight because He already won for us. We fight on a field of victory. Our enemy lays waste all around us, yet we still feel the attack going on inside of us. But we grab our swords, we read the scriptures, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we draw to Him, and we say, "Please, Lord Jesus, fix me. Please, Lord Jesus, help me and empower me and strengthen me to fight, that I would quit boxing against the air and begin to make land blows against my enemy and against my flesh and against my sin." It causes us to realize that we need Him. Every single hour we need Him. We cannot do it in our flesh. Look at a Christian that's fallen down, and immediately your heart should go, they're walking in their own strength. And instead of going over there and kicking them, you should go and encourage them and hold them accountable and say, "Hey, sister, hey, brother, I know what it's like to fall on the battlefield. I've been there. I want to encourage you to flee to Christ. He is the answer to your problem, just like He is the answer to my problem." You know, as believers, when people fall down, we shouldn't look around and go, "I tell you what, I would never do anything like that." You ever felt like that? You know, you see someone fall down and your first instinct is to go, "I can't believe that. Look, man, what's wrong with them?" If that's how you look at your brothers and sisters when they fall in sin, I guarantee if you look into the innermost part of your heart, your sin is going to be worse and more grotesque than theirs. We are all of us, as believers, are a bunch of sinners who have been saved by God's grace and who are daily, daily dependent upon that grace to even be able to crawl out of the bed and say even one thing for His glory. We are what we are by the grace of God. We don't boast over what we do that may be good. We boast over what Christ has done through us and in us. It's about Him. It's about His work in us. And this still doesn't get you off the hook. You still don't get to look at God and say, "Well, look, it's your fault. You know, you didn't empower me and strengthen me to do it." No, it's your fault. You're still trying to do it in your own strength. You're still trying to do it in your own power. If you will win the battle against the sin that's within you, it'll be through the power of the Spirit as you are on your knees before a holy God and you are walking in fellowship with Him. So next week, we're going to look at the fight. But today, here's the call. If you're a believer, I would dare say that 100% of us in here today are struggling with sin. If you don't feel it, then you need to get on your knees before God and you need to pray about it, because sin is always, as Paul says in verse number 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. It's there. Sin is creeping at the door. It wants to devour you. And so today I hope that you respond to God with repentance and that you begin to really, really seek His face. If you're here today and you're lost and you're not a believer, again, today is the day of salvation if you harden not your heart. The life that I'm talking about, yes, it's warfare, and I know it may sound not real attractive, but it's the truth. It is a battle. But there is no greater, more satisfying, there is no more joy-filled life than the life of the believer. And Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, take up his cross, he can be my disciple. Believe in the gospel. Turning from your sin and believe in the gospel, God will ransom you and set you free to live the life that we're talking about in here this morning. So I invite you this morning to come. As we have this hymn of invitation, and you know you're lost and you feel God calling and you know that it's become attractive, you want it, then I encourage you, come. It's yours for the taking. And if you're a believer, I hope that you will get your heart right, whether that be on the altar or in your seat, and that you begin to wage war against the true enemy of your soul. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. I pray that you take your words, take the words of the sinful man, that you would, God, that you would use them, that you would make them intelligible, that you would make them land and hit the mark in the heart of those who are yours and those who are even now unbelievers. God, that you would do a work in this place, that you would save lost sinners, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.